This is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. What you're about to listen to is an episode of The Next Step with Father Vosgen. We thank you for downloading or picking up a CD copy of this audio broadcast. Here, Father Vosgen provides a very distinctive and consistent voice for Armenian Orthodoxy. It is the means for providing people an intelligent and practical answer to life's difficulties, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by our Lord Jesus Christ. We produce these shows every week for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, to disenfranchise members of the church community, and of course the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient Orthodoxy. These broadcasts are available every week, free of charge, either as a podcast at epostle.net, Apple iTunes Store, Blueberry, and now on Stitcher Radio. Our commitment at epostle.net is to provide a medium for apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. So we invite you to turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
Oh, that is exciting. Hey, this is Father Vosgen, priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to the next step, the Hamparzum edition, episode number 312 of the Next Step, podcast that looks at life, at the very fabric of our being through the lens of ancient Armenian Orthodoxy, the most ancient of all Christian traditions. Polished up for today, this Armodoxy look is yours for the asking and yours for the taking. So step in with me right now. This is part of the expanding vision of the In His Shoes mission. If you're ready, I know I am. Let's take the next. Oh, you can tell that I'm excited over here. That's right. It is Hamparzum. It is Ascension Day. It is exactly 40 days after Easter. Yes, you count them. 1, 2, 3, 4. There we are. 40 days after Easter. On this Thursday, we are celebrating Hamparzum. It is the day that Christ ascended to heaven. And we're going to be talking about that because I have just like this incredible new insight on this feast, and it came to me just I'm not gonna tell you it came to me in a dream, but it did. I just woke up one morning. I said, hey, this is what happened. Okay, so just hang on with me because I'm gonna give you a new look, a fresh look at Hamparzum, and I think it plays into our expanding definition of Armodoxy, expanding in the sense that, hey, you know, we're living right now. This is always like something very important to me. A lot of times when we get caught up in Orthodoxy, especially in mainline Christianity, we forget that we are a part of the equation as well, right? And what we need to bring to the table is, I don't want to say it's more important, but at least, at the very least, it is equally valid, because what happens is our participation into the equation. Think about this, just sheer logic. Our participation into the equation of religion makes that religion relevant. Right? Think about it for a moment, right? By us living today in 2014 and with the cares and the difficulties in the world, we are bringing our participation, our own personal history, to the equation. And therefore now, all of a sudden, that religion, that faith becomes relevant because of us. And that's very important. It means that religion, that faith, is living. I know. Some people are going to get a little bit upset about this, right? What are you saying, Father Vosgen? Are you saying that God needs us? Yeah, he does. Yeah, we're part of the equation. That's right. We need God as much as God needs us. Does God cease to exist if we don't exist? Well, think about it for a moment. What exists after you don't exist? Well, obviously, there is this external world. There is something outside of us. This is getting a little bit philosophical, and I usually don't like to go in these routes. But you think about it. You think about it. We are the ones who participate in the joy of this world, in the celebration of life. We are the main participants, right? Okay. God interacts with us. We interact with God. And if one of the two is missing, then what cannot exist? Interaction. Okay? And we need to feel confident that God is our creator, as someone who's breathed life into us, right? He gave us the breath of life. And that's what defines us as living, right? That breath of life that comes from God, right? He breathes right into us. And now we live, right? We have to feel confident that he does that as a definition of love. We are created by love. We are created in the image of love. We are created by our creator, love, right? And he loves us so much that he asks us to be participant in this beautiful process of life. And so, yes, we need God, but God also needs us. And by us being part of that equation, we understand that relevance is very important to the discussion. You can't just be talking about Jesus if Jesus doesn't mean anything in your life right now. Jesus means something. It's not just a character that came out of history books. And so too, ascension, the events that took place in his life, namely the crucifixion, the resurrection, and today the ascension, those things, those events point to events in our lives, point to certain understandings we have about life, but also point to the revelations we learn about our own selves, about our own being, who we are, and how we interact with one another. I shared this with you a few weeks ago, right? I think when Jesus says, "He who believes in my name has eternal life," I think he's saying, get over it. Okay, believe in his name, okay? You have eternal life. Get over it. Now, start thinking about the important things in life. How do you get along with one another? How do you care? How do you show compassion? How do you demonstrate compassion? How do you live a life that is a life for justice, that works for peace? This week, Pope Francis was out in Jerusalem. I loved it. Did you see that? Yes, I saw the Armenian Patriarch as well. Yes, he was there. But of course, Pope Francis went and he met with the what's called the Universal Patriarch. Yeah, that's a kind of a cool name, right? It's sort of Darth Vader-ish, right? He met with His Holiness Bartholomew, who is the Ecumenical Patriarch, and they met together. Now, you know, I don't want to get into the Sunday school lesson, but real quickly, there's three main branches of Orthodoxy. One, the largest of them being, of course, the Roman Catholic Church, which is called the Western Church, the Roman Church. The other one is what's the Eastern Orthodox, which would be the Greeks, the Russians, the Bulgarians. These are all what are called the mainline Eastern Orthodox. We, the Armenian Church, along with the Coptics and the Church of Malabar, there's five of them all together, the Ethiopians, okay? We are part of what's called the Lesser Orthodox, and lesser by that they mean just in numbers, okay? Not that our faith is any less. Sometimes we are known as the Eastern Oriental Churches. You know what Oriental means, right? It means Eastern. So it's kind of like saying the Eastern Churches or the Oriental Churches. I never liked that definition of us. I just like the idea that Armenian Church has a unique message and a unique understanding of God that isn't wrapped up too much in intellect, and it's not wrapped up too much in touchy-feely. I like the balance. I really like the balance. And you know what? It works for me. Why do I say that? Well, you look at what happened to Pope Francis. He goes out to Jerusalem, and he meets with the ecumenical patriarch, His Holiness Bartholomew. You know, there's only a handful of people who have this title, His Holiness. One is His Holiness Francis the Pope, His Holiness Bartholomew, His Holiness Catechine, right? The Armenian Church. There's His Holiness the Dalai Lama. There's this maybe a handful of people with this holiness title. Anyway, I know that, yes. Ken's looking at me like, where are you going with this? No, it's just, it's a parenthetical statement, okay? Yes, parenthetical. I'm using that word in a sentence. I hope properly. Anyway, so we are, we're looking at the holinesses getting together. And what happened at that moment, they go into Jerusalem and they pray together. And this is a very significant moment. It's a significant moment in history because the Christian church is one. The chief shepherd of the Christian church can be identified with people that are called His Holinesses, can be identified with whether it's a Catholicos, a patriarch, or a pope. But truly, the shepherd is who? Is Christ. And we are all one in Christ. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. There's a tie-in, right? But the good shepherd, I am the good shepherd, says our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we are all one. We are all one flock. We are all one church. And throughout the centuries, for various reasons, there's been splits, there's been schisms where one branch of the church, and you know what, when you really study it, I know there are theological arguments to be made, but when you really study it, when you study those theological arguments, you really understand that the church has been split not because of God, not because of our understanding of God, but because of our understanding of one another. Namely, because of politics. So Pope Francis goes to Jerusalem and he prays. He prays with the ecumenical patriarch in Jerusalem, His Holiness Bartholomew, and together they make some statements. Beautiful, beautiful things. I'll try to get a link on today's show notes because it's worth reading. It's worth reading and really praying for the unity of the Armenian Church. I know we have a dear listener out in London, Harry Hagopian. He works very closely with the ecumenical movement. And you know what? I'll make a note over here. Make sure that you get a link to his website as well, because he's done a lot of writings. And it's worth knowing about the ecumenical movement and how these churches react to one another and how they are working towards being that one that one church, that one communion, okay? That's not what I want to get into today. We've done it in the past, and probably coming up next week with Pentecost, we'll touch on it. But what I do want to talk about today is that Pope Francis, very, very bright man. I'm intrigued, and I think the whole world is intrigued by this pontiff in the way he's dealing with people and just the balance that he finds. He finds such a beautiful balance. I was very impressed that he went and he prayed with the Palestinians, and he invited the Jewish community, the Palestinian community leaders, to Rome to pray together. And how significant is that? And you know, you can say, okay, it's politics and everything, but I think it's beyond politics. I think what you're seeing is the Holy Spirit in action. And of course, yes, you probably all caught that little incident, right, when the Pope and Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu sat down, right, and Netanyahu was saying something about, you know, we are so close, the Jews and the Christians, we have the same beginning, the same origins, and of course, Jesus spoke Hebrew. And Pope Francis says, no, he spoke Aramaic. He was speaking Aramaic. He corrected Netanyahu. And now what was interesting, that the whole world focused in on this one little sentence. It barely took more than a few seconds. I mean, the reason for this, of course, is this is the kind of stuff that we consume ourselves with. What did Jesus talk? What did Jesus do? The Pope felt comfortable enough to make this correction, and certainly as the pontiff of the largest Christian communion, he's entitled to make that small little correction to Netanyahu. What is he talking about? Okay, let him talk, let him say it, but I'm correcting him. This is not what Jesus spoke. This is what he spoke. Okay, that was beautiful. But that was not the gist of this meeting, right? Well, everybody focused in on it. The Pope did go to Jerusalem. And I'm going to put some links on here for you to just look into. I know we get all kinds of people who write to us who ask about it, and I'd love to share more with you. But I'm going to put some links. Get to know some of the ecumenical movement and what's going on, and see for yourself. What do you think about it? I'd love to hear from you. And like I said, I'll make sure that we got a link to our dear friend Dr. Harry Hagopian, and so you can see what kind of work that he's doing. Of course, Dr. Hagopian is a London-based international lawyer, political advisor, ecumenical consultant, a lot of good stuff. Get to know this stuff. Get to know what they're writing about. Get to know what they're talking about. And I want to share it with you. Like I said, not the scope of what we're doing today, but definitely worth talking about, considering the Pope's visit to Jerusalem. I'm going to break now for the song of the day and be back. We're going to be talking about Hampartzum, about Ascension Day, in a way that probably you weren't figuring you would hear about. But this is it. This is why you've tuned in to The Next Step. Here is a song for Hampartzum. Enjoy.
Vijak, vijak odunu, jijak ushare, shabiku voske kojak. Vijak, vijak odunu, jijak ushare, shabiku voske kojak. Vijak, yaga hapajan talan. Vijak, yaga hapaji apa. Vijak, yaga hapamjatiyo. Vijak, vijak odunu, jijak ushare, shabiku voske kojak. Vijak, vijak odunu, Vijak ushare, shabi kuboske koja. Vijak yega medab nani, marana yega medzer nani, kohara yega meachkani. Vijak, vijak utanu, jijak ushare, shabi kuboske koja. Vijak, vijak utanu, jijak ushare, shabi kuboske koja. Mere vichaga inch kuzi gulmajan, boske madani kuzi gulmajan. Mere vichaga inch kuzi gulmajan, khatay mita khob kuzi gulmajan. Vichak vichak durnu vichak gulmajan, share shabik boske gochak gulmajan. Vichak vichak durnu vichak gulmajan, share shabik boske gochak gulmajan. Güle 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 Hampartzuma yezandaran hani dur jaktin davin garmir nur bostanlere buta buta asfalt pandin rösvengöda vijag durnu cijag şare şabik boske gocak vijag durnu cijag şare şabik boske goja Mere vichaga inch kuzi gulmajan, boske madani kuzi gulmajan. Mere vichaga inch kuzi gulmajan, khatay micha kho kuzi gulmajan.
The unmistakable clarity of Zulal. That's the artist doing Vijag. Now this is a song that kind of, well, it fits in with Hampartzum in a very folksy way. And this was popularized by Hovhannes Tumanyan, one of the prolific Armenian writers, in a poem called Anush. And in this poem he talks about the tragedy of the people who did superstitions. They lived by superstitions. When religion, when faith becomes superstitious, and you see what happens, the tragic life that unfolds. A beautiful, beautiful poem. It's an epic. It was turned into an epic opera later on, but written at the turn of the earlier century, I'd say 1900s, early 1900s, not sure exactly of the date. But this particular song is done by Zulal, the group, and there will definitely be a link on today's show notes so you could check out not only this song, but all of the beautiful music that comes out of Zulal. This happens to be off of a live recording. I don't know if this particular song is available, but you'll definitely get a chance to check out all of their great music. But Vijag is about fortune. It's about picking the fortune. And this is a tradition that, like I said, Tumanyan wrote about in Anush, the poem, how people got together on this particular feast, on Hamparzum, on Ascension Day. There's even a song, Hamparzum Yaila, Yaila Jan Yaila, and they would sing, and they would pick fortunes, and these fortunes would rule their destiny, okay? And Tumanyan, of course, was writing about the absurdity of allowing a piece of paper, allowing somebody to rule your destiny. And of course, he showed it in the sense of a tragedy that unfolded in the life of Anush and the people in the community. But I selected this song because, yes, it does have folksy roots. It is from Armenian folklore. And it, first of all, I selected it because I love the music. Isn't that beautiful? I love the sound of Zulal. But I also wanted to make the point that religion does not exist in a vacuum. Rather, it interacts. There is a reason for it, and certainly some of the earliest superstitions were basically religions of people, right? Superstitions that, you know, that we are ruled by the cosmic forces, by the stars in the sky, by gods deciding to play games of chess and chance with us. I mean, certainly when you read the Old Testament, some of the Jewish folklore, right? I mean, that's very evident, right? When you see that God is saying, hey, let's go and have a deal with the devil, and let's go pick on this guy. Let's stay away from this guy. Let's decide that one group of people is better than the other people, okay? Well, you know, this is basically religious folklore. And you see, what happens is when it goes unchecked is people start buying into these things at the rate that we can't control them. And this is what we're seeing in the world. So this talk about ascension, I want to begin with a broad brush right now and talk about religion in general. Religion needs to speak to the times. It needs to speak to people. It needs to be, in one word, relevant. To me, In His Shoes, when we talk about this movement that we have, In His Shoes is really the cornerstone of all relevance, right? Because it's and think about it for a moment, of the three words, what is the one word that pops out in terms of relevance for us? In His Shoes. Which word is it? Well, obviously it's not his. It could be her shoe. It could be Joe's shoe. It could be Khosrow's shoe. It could be Margaret's shoe. And obviously it's not shoe, right? Doesn't matter if you are in his shoes or in his glove. In her purse. In her dress, right? It's feeling the pain of somebody. No, the operative word in the three words is in. When you're in something, what's happening? You're putting yourself. You're giving of yourself. You're sacrificing of yourself. What is the entire point of Christ coming to earth? In his shoes, to walk in our shoes, to feel our pain, tzavatanim, to understand it. In his shoes. This is the ultimate expression of relevance. We feel one another's pains, sorrows, difficulties, and joys. We celebrate with one another. We walk in the shoes of others. And okay, so we're standing here and we're talking about Hamparzum, about Ascension Day. Now, what's so significant about this day? I'll tell you. Remember I told you earlier that I woke up with this revelation, and I need to share it with you. In fact, we need to document it. We need to start talking about it. It's the point that at Ascension, 40 days after the resurrection, the story of Christ continues. It's interesting, right? The story of Christ does not end at his baptism, obviously. There's no story after that, right? If they just went and got baptized. It doesn't end with his miracles, giving sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf, life to the dead. It doesn't end with his miracles. It doesn't even end with his teachings. They put him on a cross, and he bleeds. He gives his life on that cross. It doesn't end there, does it? In fact, there is a resurrection. And because of that resurrection, we now look at that crucifixion. And what do we call it? We call it good. We call it Good Friday, right? It's not just Friday. It's Good Friday. Well, why is it good? You're putting God up on a cross. That's good. It's good in the terms that we look at it from Sunday, the resurrection. But interestingly enough, the story of Christ, the Christian story, does not end at the resurrection. And this is the revelation I had. That there is a reason for ascension. And what is that reason? Because you need to ascend. Are you ready for this? It's not enough to resurrect. You need to ascend. Okay, let's read the story of ascension. Okay, this comes to us from Matthew chapter 28. Sometimes it's called the Great Commission. Okay? It says, now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, obviously the 12 minus 1 minus Judas. The 11 went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some of them doubted. There we go with the doubt again. It's okay. There's disciples. These are people that saw the crucifixion, saw the resurrection, saw the after resurrection times when they met with them, but some of them still doubted. It says it. And this is Holy Scripture, right? I mean, you would think like if the Holy Scripture is going to make a case for Jesus, it would write about, oh, hey, wonderful things. It wouldn't write about doubting, but it talks about doubting. They doubted Jesus. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. I just love this promise that he gives. I am with you always. Of course he is. I am with you always. When? Till the end of the age. But what's so beautiful about this ascension story, as he's going, as he's ascending? Actually, it's in the book of Acts that we read about the actual ascension. Let's just take a look at that just so we can bring the story together. It takes place in the book of Acts chapter 1. It's from the 6th verse and following. It says, and so when they came together, they asked him, Lord, is it time when you will restore the kingdom of Israel to Israel? He replied, it is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his authority, and you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When he said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up towards heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. And so there's a little bit of prophecy over there too. There's a little bit of eschatology about the last days, what's going to happen. But basically, this is the story of ascension. Now, why is this necessary? Let's talk a little bit about what is necessary. What's going on over here? What does Jesus say? He says, all authority has been given to me on heaven and on earth. What do we see Jesus here? We see him in complete perfection, right? Where is he ascending? To heaven. What is heaven? But the perfect state of being, right? Perfection. And so it got me to think, well, what was different between Jesus at this point as opposed to the resurrection? And you know what I focused in on? The wounds. The wounds of Christ were still there at resurrection, right? At ascension, even the wounds have been healed. He ascends complete, total. And think about this in terms of you and me, about our own lives. We have crucifixions. We all agree on that. Yes, we all know what crucifixion is. We all have discomfort. We have pain. We have suffering. We have betrayal. We all can understand even resurrection. We can understand overcoming our difficulties, our pains. But the wounds are still there, aren't they? Right? Think about, what do we talk about when ultimate love, when we talk about forgiveness? What's the first thing when we talk about forgiveness? 7 times 77. How many times should I forgive? 7 times 77. What's the first thing you think about? You say, well, does that mean I have to forget? Okay, well, when you don't forget, what happens? The wounds are still open. Of course they are. Yeah, you can forgive somebody, but the wounds are still there. Think about right after the resurrection of Jesus. The wounds were still there. The cloths that lined him in the tomb, right? It talks about the cloths. They were still there. Remember when Thomas meets Jesus, what does he say? He says, unless I put my hands in his wounds, unless I feel the marks where the nails went in, unless I put my hand where the spear went in on the side of Christ, I will not believe that he is the resurrected Lord, that he is still that is the same Jesus. And what does Jesus do when he comes and he says, here, Thomas, go ahead, feel the wounds. The wounds are there. What happens at ascension? At ascension, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, he says. He's complete. And so his return to heaven, that place where there is no sorrow, there's no pain, that place that is complete perfection. He goes there without the wounds. Now think about that for a moment in our own life, right? Right? We have difficulties. We have problems, and we experience resurrection, but the wounds are still there. Really, the challenge is to go beyond it. That's the challenge for the Christian. The Christian will experience the life of Christ in his own life. The Christian will put his hands out and will be crucified in various different forms, whether it's health issues, physical issues, spiritual issues, emotional issues. Every one of us has pains that we have to deal with in our own lives. The Christian understands the concept that Jesus said to him, courage, the victory is mine. I have overcome this world. What does this mean? I have overcome the trappings, the imperfection of this world. He says this, I have overcome this world, not this life, this world. Ashkar. And so the imperfections of life are meant to be overcome as Christ overcame them. And so we all participate also in resurrection. A life in Christ means we are resurrected. We resurrect with him from our pains and our sufferings. Now comes the ultimate. Here comes the challenge. How many times should I forgive, Lord? My brother has sinned against me 7 times. Should I forgive him 7 times? Jesus says not only 7 times, but 7 times 77 times. In other words, infinitely. Infinitely. Now, when you're at that point, what happens? The wounds heal. That's ascension. The wounds are healed, and you find that perfection in your life. This is true of anything. Your relationships, your physical being, your illnesses. You're looking for healing. What do you want for healing? It's only available at ascension. And it requires you to go beyond resurrection and find that ascension. Now, you are my faithful listeners, right? You next steppers. So let me tell you that... I'll give you a little secret, a little hint, that I'm using this metaphor in the way that I'm defining how the 100th anniversary of the Armenian Genocide is going to be commemorated. because this is the metaphor that we have to live by if we are a church. Now, you think about that for a moment, okay? I'm not talking about political parties. I'm not talking about historic parties. I'm talking about the church. If we are true to the calling that we have of Jesus Christ, who said, "Follow me, and I will make you fisher of men." If we believe in this Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God, God incarnate, who is love, what do we have to do? We need to get this message out as the body of Christ. And so I'm following this metaphor. Because to me, the Armenian people, yes, we had our Golgotha. We had crucifixion. 1915 was crucifixion. Ultimate crucifixion. It's called genocide. We had resurrection too. 1918, small little state. 1921, it was gobbled up. 1920, I think it was, November. Gobbled up by the Soviet Union once again. Years of torture, years of difficulties, but small little resurrections here and there with the likes of some of the Catholicoi, namely Vazgen the First, who was able to really put together a system that worked. Got us all the way to 1991. As a people, we saw resurrection in a country. But we saw hardships again, right? But where are we at right now? At 100 years later, 2015 coming up, we've got to be talking about ascension. In other words, we've got to get out of the way because we need to start addressing other people. Look at what happened with Jesus. He came and he gave himself for this world, and then he said, "The Holy Spirit will be with you. I'm giving you the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is going to come, and he will guide your church." In other words, I'm always with you to the end of the ages. We don't have to recreate another crucifixion. We don't have to recreate another resurrection. Get on to ascension. And you look at Armenian people today, talk about ascension. 1935. These are historical times. 1935. Check out National Geographic. Check out the Near East Relief Society. What did they refer to the Armenians as? The starving Armenians. Starving. Hey, have you taken out another notch on your belt lately? Guess what? Those starving Armenians aren't starving anymore. And guess what? Those starving Armenians are feeding people. Not only literally, you go down in the central California, Fresno and all those places where there's vineyards and everything. There's fields of food, providing food for not only California, most of America, most of the world. Guess what? Those starving Armenians not only went to crucifixion to resurrection, but went from resurrection to ascension, now helping other people. What about the In His Shoes mission? Guess what? We're on the streets of LA, Los Angeles, the second largest city in the United States of America. And we're addressing homelessness. Guess what? We Armenians, Christian Armenians, people who have faith in Christ, are helping, are reaching out, are walking in the shoes of others. And what's happening at the end of it? We're understanding that we are no longer crucified. Definitely we saw resurrection, but beyond the resurrection, we're now on the road to ascension. Now, you come to yourself. You have difficulties in your life. You've had crucifixions. You've even experienced resurrections, okay? But you need to get to the ascension. And ascension is a very easy process. It just requires you to focus on what's important. And here's a really easy focus. It's a focus on life. What is important in your life? And you'll find that the wounds that you have in your life are really, you're able to overcome them. It requires prayer. It requires focus. And it requires a little bit of sacrifice to say that, you know what? I'm bigger than that. I don't need another excuse to stay in crucifixion, right? I don't need an excuse to stay in resurrection. I have ascended. And you look at all the beauty that you have in your life. You look at all the wonders that you have in your life. And you finally understand that, guess what? You are at that point of ascension. You have ascended. And it's very easy to slip back and to look back at the resurrection. Look back at the crucifixion. Remember how it was on Easter Sunday? You still were looking back at crucifixion. You remembered what it was like. Oh, yeah, a couple days ago it was Good Friday. Yeah, I remember the crucifixion. We went to services. Today's Easter. We got Easter eggs. Hey, look at the bunny over there. But we still remember it. But here we are, 40 days later. Uh-uh. We're moving forward. I'm going to end today with a reading from... Now, I know this is a little unorthodox, but I'm going to read from William Saroyan. This is a little writing that he does. Why I Write, he writes. This is dated 1958 in Malibu, California. He writes, why should I be troubled by memory at all if all memory told me was that things change, fail, decline, end, and die? I didn't want good things to do that, and I didn't think they should. Now, he writes this in the context of writing and what he does. I share it with you as a small little meditation for you to think, for you to ponder, really realize what a beautiful life it is. All of the beauty that is around us, despite the difficulties, despite the tragedies that we see. In the end, there is a perfection that we need to point towards. Our Lord Jesus Christ points to that perfection. Today we commemorate, we celebrate the ascension of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And in so doing, we remember, we commemorate his crucifixion, his resurrection, and ultimately his perfection. A way of life for all of us. Here's Susie to tell you if you liked what you're hearing, how to get involved with us, okay?
Hi, this is Susie for In His Shoes Ministries. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I wanted to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. We are growing daily with new listeners around the globe. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Vazgen calls it, Armadoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties. At epostle.net, we are determined to bring apostolic evangelism to an electronic world. This means we must avail ourselves to technology's latest tools. Your donations help us expand and deliver this message to a waiting world. Please support us by pressing on the donate button at epostle.net. Thanks for listening and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
Oh, thank you, Susie. She's the girl with the golden voice. The voice that brings in the gold. Oh, I wish. Oh, thank you, Susie. And thank you, all of you who participate in this ministry. You know, this podcast and everything that we do is because of your prayers. And I emphasize this every week. Your prayers are first and foremost what we need. And your donations. Your donations, I'm overwhelmed. Sometimes the love that you show in your donations, in your giving, is overwhelming, because we feel it. We're able to do the things that we never thought we were able to do. We're reaching places that we never thought we'd ever reach. And I thank God. I get emotional at times like this. I've had some emotional things happen lately, but let me share with you something very special to me, and it happens every Sunday when I celebrate the Divine Liturgy. And in a few weeks, God willing, we're going to be celebrating the Divine Liturgy on some very, very historical sites in Armenia. And I do remember all of you. I thank God every day that we have this opportunity to reach out. I thank God that we have this opportunity to share this ministry with so many of you. What's the expression? You pinch yourself? Are you awake? Sometimes I get calls, I get emails, I get listeners tuning in and telling me this or that, and pinch myself. Hey, is this for real? You know, God says, you just do the work. I'll take care of the rest. And I know God's working. He's working through you. He's working through all of us. I don't want to get too emotional. I don't want to get too big about this. I don't want to get too pretentious. I'm really scared about all that kind of stuff. All I want to say is thank you. Thank you to all of you for your prayers, for your kindness, your generosity. I read every one of your emails. I pray for every one of you, and I thank you very much. God bless you all. We are at the end of today's show. Let's see. In the next few weeks, we're going to be doing a few things differently. We're going to be celebrating our anniversary, our 7th anniversary, in a very unique way. We're going to be in Armenia. We're going to be on both sides of Ararat. We're going to be in the Republic of Armenia as well as historic Armenia. We're going to be traveling, taking a lot of pictures. And for a few weeks while we are there, we're going to be celebrating and bringing you the best of the next step. When we get back, we're going to be starting our 7th year of podcasting. And we've got some exciting things to share with you, especially coming up next April, which will be the 100th anniversary of the Armenian Genocide. We're going to be commemorating in a very, very special way. That's going to be, I think all of you, especially you listeners of the Next Step, you who've been on board with us, who've been praying with us, who've been sharing with us, you're going to be really... You're going to be in for something very beautiful, a very, very beautiful blessing. That's all I'm going to say about it right now, okay? We're going to call it a day. Today is Ascension Day. I'm going to go out and take off this small little rope that's on my arm that has been there for the last 42 days, because on Thursday, today is Thursday Ascension, on Thursday, Holy Thursday, we read 7 Gospels during the Order of Darkness, Chavarman Kisher, and during each of those Gospels, the people, Jesus instructs us, he asks us to stay awake with him during his trials and tribulations, and he comes back and he finds that, you know, his disciples are asleep. So we've designed a way of staying awake, and there's a small little nice little tradition that as we're listening to the Gospels, you will make one knot for each Gospel inside on this string, and then place the string on your arm. Now, will this string get me to heaven? Does it have any salvific properties? No, it doesn't. It's just a nice reminder that we stood awake during the Passion of our Lord, and we stay awake during the trials that we endure. We stay awake knowing that Christ is triumphant. And so this small little rope that's on my arm, and I have to say that it was created by Susie, because she's the producer of this show. She produced this rope for me that night and placed it on my arm. But the tradition, it is on Hamparzum, on Ascension, you take it off and you burn it. So I'm going to go out and burn this rope, okay? That's what we're going to do with it. It's actually a little string. The rope is too technical, too big for it, too cumbersome, right? This small little string with 7 little knots in it. Hey, listen, whatever your tradition is, I want to just wish you all the best on this Holy Ascension Day, wishing all of God's blessings on you and your families, your loved ones. Christ has ascended. Go out and tell the world, and most importantly, tell yourself that you are a worthy child of God, and today you participate in that ascension. For the wonderful crew who brought today's show together, for us, for Susie, our producer, for Ryan, our webmaster, for Ken, our engineer, this is Father Bosky, inviting you to join us again next week when we will take
Trust you've enjoyed and been blessed by this edition of The Next Step with Father Vazquez.
We invite you to join us every week for our regular broadcast. This, as well as all other episodes of The Next Step, are available for streaming and download at epostle.net. In addition, you can stream, download, or subscribe at Apple's iTunes Store, Blueberry, and Stitcher Radio, or try our smartphone app. New episodes are available globally every Thursday. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. We invite you to point your web browser to epostle.net, where you can enter your email address to have The Next Step delivered directly to your inbox. For the production crew and all the members of In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking The Next Step with you again next week. And now here's the fine print. The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with The Next Step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, The Next Step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Off for one top visits.